I call this meeting to order, San Jose County Board of Supervisors for December 9th, 2013. Please rise for a pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin today's meeting with a presentation from, for Adopt a Pet. Stanislaus Animal Services Agency has many dogs and cats available for adoption. All these animals are available for adoption at the shelter, are spayed and neutered, and have age-appropriate vaccinations and a microchip. We will feature a dog and a cat today. Our cat, which we will start with, is Binks. He's a featured cat. He's a chocolate point Siamese. He's approximately 4 years old, and he's a big and beautiful cat. He loves to be social and to be loved on. He would like to be your family's best friend. Take a good look at him. He stinks.
Yeah.
Okay, now we'll move to the dog, Thompson. He is a handsome chocolate brown pit bull. He's approximately 3 years old. He's a gentle giant. Heard that somewhere before. He is looking forward to laying by the fireplace with his new foster family. He's been with Stanislaus Animal Shelter Agency since September 30th, 2014. Any good look at Bronson? By the way, I forgot to mention that last month our two featured pets is Kahlua. the cat was adopted November 10th, and the dog named Princess was adopted also November 10th. Both animals today are available for adoption at the Stanislaus Animal Shelter. Please remember that adopting any new member to your family is a big commitment, and that the staff shelter is there to help you meet your new best friend. To adopt either of these animals or other animals we have at the shelter, the shelter is located at 3647 Cornucopia Way in Modesto, or call the animal shelter at 558-7387. Adoptable animals can be viewed on the web at StanislausAnimalServices.com. Okay, our next presentation will be Red Ribbon Week. And Charmaine Monte and Elizabeth Escalante.
Good morning, board members. My name is Charmaine Monte, and I'm from the Stanislaus County Office of Education Prevention Programs. And this is my coworker, Elizabeth Escalante, also from SCO. We wish to extend a special thank you to the Board of Supervisors for the opportunity to present the Red Ribbon Week Best Decorated Schools Contest. Here with us today is our director, Vicki Bauman, from Prevention Programs. Red Ribbon is a national awareness campaign highlighting the dangers of drug use. Stanislaus County Schools participated annually with rallies, drug dogs, poetry contests, assemblies, and much, much more. This year, we had over 25 school districts and school sites participate in the Red Ribbon Best Decorated Schools Contest. Before we get started with the awards, we really want to extend a very warm thank you to Doris Clark. She's an event planning specialist from Stanislaus County Office of Ed. And without her hard work, organization, and dedication to this whole contest, it wouldn't have taken place, and it wouldn't have taken place as smoothly as it did. So thank you so much, Doris. Now we're going to go ahead and award the winners of our contest. There's three different categories. We have the elementary, the junior high, and the high school. And each of the winning school sites will receive a certificate from Senator Anthony Canella, and they'll also receive a plaque from Stanislaus County Office of Education. So we will get started. All right, we will start with our elementary division. And some of our school sites were able to attend today and others were not. We kind of have a scarce audience over here. all right, so for third place, we have Von Renner. And so a round of applause for Von Renner, please. Von Renner met all the criteria in our rubric. The students went above and beyond, going to the city and getting a proclamation. They had huge staff and community participation, and the students did a video as well. So great job. Thank you. And then second place, we have Chrysler Elementary School. So a round of applause for Chrysler. Chrysler also met all the criteria of our rubric. The students submitted a video with daily messages about Red Ribbon from the students themselves. Students had daily messages and dress-up days. It was a huge collaborative. So thank you. All right, and then our first place winner is Julian Elementary School. Julian students went above and beyond, and they did some wonderful things. The staff and PTA were involved. They had a book fair, lots and lots of different things. So we are very, very happy that they are first place. All right. Okay, we're going to move on to our middle school site. So for third place, we have Cesar Chavez. They weren't able to be here today, but we'll go ahead and just acknowledge them. All the schools that we are presenting awards to today, they have met the rubric. We have a rubric that we use to score them. They've met the rubric and they've gone above and beyond, and Cesar Chavez is one of those school sites that have gone above and beyond. So congratulations to Cesar Chavez. Our next school site for the junior high division is Trelawny Junior, and I'm not sure if anybody from Trelawny Junior is here as well. It was a little difficult for them to leave their school site today. So again, once again, Trelawny Junior, they did an outstanding job. They actually partnered, one of the highlights of Trelawny Junior is that they partnered with Carlos Junior, and they did pledge posters and reward incentives that Carlos Junior helped them out with. So congratulations. Yes? You can take it. Here we go. Perfect. Thank you so much, Kellogg Jr. Thank you. They did an outstanding job as well. And our first place winner is Oakdale Jr. And I don't think that they're here. These teachers, it's very difficult to leave a classroom with 7th and 8th grade students. Not that the high school is not, but, you know, or the elementary. So, again, they did an outstanding job. And the highlights Oakdale Junior is they connected with community through local newspaper. So they actually went out into the community and they involved the community through the newspaper and actually promoted Red Ribbon Week activities that way. So congratulations to Oakdale Junior as well. All right, and next we have our high school criteria. All right, for third place, we had Downey High School. Anybody here from Downey? All right. Congratulations. And Downey provided educational elements with fantastic emphasis on the history of Red Ribbon. And we all know that the history of Red Ribbon is that Kiko Camarena was killed because of his involvement in the anti-drug war in the South America. Sorry. All students learned about the life of Kiki through posters and daily public announcements during class. The judge overheard two students in the hallway discussing the DEA agent and was very impressed that they remembered, they learned about it, and they knew what we were celebrating. So it's very important. And so second place, we have Orestimba High School. Come on up. And Oristima High School excelled with campus decorations. They were visible from the marquee to the back of the school campus. Daily themes with drug-related messages during announcements. Huge student and club participation. They had a great portfolio that they submitted, including information about the origination of Red Ribbon. A large human bowling and Velcro activities. How fun. So thank you very much, you guys. Woohoo! Congratulations. And our first place is Davis High School. Come on up. Now, Davis High School students brought out all the bells and whistles for their Red Ribbon event. They had huge involvement from students, staff, they connected with the community through the Marine Corps. The entire campus had signage and posters about Red Ribbon. There were weekly scheduled activities and a rally with about 20 students and teachers assisting throughout the coordination. So another round of applause for Davis High School.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and
everyone have a wonderful day.
Hey, thank you for the presentation. We appreciate all the schools that have participated in this. Okay, we will now move to our next item, which is the CSAC Challenges Award for our Employee Mentor Program.
Good morning. Timing worked out well to have educational presentations here today. Chairman DeMartini and Supervisors, my name is Faith Conley. I'm with the California State Association of Counties. One of the true pleasures of working for CSAC is the ability to get out into the counties and meet people and see what's happening on the ground. So it's a true privilege to be here today. Thank you for having me. As you may know, CSAC created the Challenge Awards program back in the early 1990s to recognize the creativity and innovation in county government. And since that time, that program has grown in popularity. It's actually the third year in a row Stanislaus County has been able to receive a Challenge Award for a program it's created. Today I'm here to honor you for your employee mentor program. It's a program that's been doing incredible service in the community for the past 15 years. The concept is simple yet effective. Your employees actually volunteer their lunch hours to spend time with children who are struggling academically. Since the program's inception, more than 500 volunteers have committed about 24,000 hours of community service. And the success of your program speaks for itself. Students with mentors have increased their academic performance, improved their attendance, and they interact more with their peers and get into less trouble. All of the success happens on a $1,500 a year annual budget, which we could pull that kind of thing off at the state level. Today I'm honored to present a 2014 CSAC Challenge Award to the Santa Claus County Board of Supervisors and Assistant Executive Officer Keith Boggs, who I'd also like to recognize, as well as all the county employees who were able to dedicate their time to the students of your community.
Well, we're pleased to have you here today. It's a very prestigious award for Stanislaus County to win. So all the counties try to compete for these, so we're glad that we got that this year. In fact, the Employee Mentor Program, I think, was started by Keith Boggs years ago, so he deserves a lot of credit for this, as well as everybody who participates in the Mentor Program.
So on behalf of your 57 fellow counties, as well as CSAC, congratulations on your award.
Okay. Congratulations. Yeah. How many employees do we have participating in this? It's quite a few, isn't it? 180. Great.
Yeah, the right hands.
Just a quick comment on the Challenge Awards. I do some of the scoring, although not in the suburban county, so I don't score Stanislaus County, but it's a fantastic thing. I do the urban counties, and then afterwards we sit and talk about the different ideas within the different groupings of counties. And I find so many ideas, because this is really, you take something where there's a challenge in your community, and how you dealt with it, and it's can you replicate it in all the different counties, cost, the savings that's generated, and it's so successful for me personally that I end up taking ideas and sending them out to my department heads to try and replicate ideas, because no sense in reinventing the wheel over and over and over again. So it's always a pleasure to be a participant and grade and look at these things, because there's a lot of great ideas.
Hey, Jim, could I just jump into one more time? Just to add on here, just what a big deal this program is, what a real game changer this program is, and I just want to thank Keith and Norma for doing this. It's just, it's amazing what a difference this is making in the community, and we've only just begun. There's a lot more work we're going to do with this, but we get to these kids at this early age, and I always say that, you know, it's not necessarily the 30 minutes of reading time we get with them, but it's just the FaceTime you get with them, and it just exposes these kids to something different that most of them don't see in their lives from the time they leave their house to their school back to their house. Most of them are in real tough situations, and whether they don't have parents at home or the stuff that they're exposed to is that most of us, you know, fortunately, have never been exposed to. So for them to be able to see something different in their lives compared to what they're living, you know, day to day, really can make the difference in their lives just by being exposed to being involved with somebody different than what they have to deal with every day might be the thing that pushes them over the edge and brings them out of the situation that they're in and breaks the chain that they're unfortunately a part of. So, I mean, I just can't say enough about this program, and thank you guys for what you're doing.
Okay. This is the time of our meeting that we have a public comment for anyone in our audience who wishes to address this board on a non-agenda item. I have two speaker cards. The first is Joan Brutschow. Good morning, Joan.
Good morning, gentlemen of the Board of Supervisors, Joan Brutschow, Modesto, California. I'd like to speak on the drought situation and what we're doing in the state and in the county about it. I think we need to take a multi-pronged approach to our three-year drought, which, by the way, I understand is the worst that we've had in 1,200 years. That's in an article from the newspaper the other day. We especially need a comprehensive plan that embraces long-term sustainability and is a permanent drought solution. Now, we are already using or planning to use the following practices to save water: conservation, recycling, levee repairs, water transfers. And yet, I really don't think this is quite enough. We need to create new water above and below the ground so the wells do not run dry, subsidence of land is halted, and the aquifers are recharged. Vance Kennedy wrote a great letter to the Modesto Bee a couple weeks ago, and he believes that we need to compensate farmers for recharging the aquifers, which I think is a great idea. Now, even more important than these ideas is increasing our water storage capacity. And this has been addressed by many people that wrote letters to the Bee, by increasing the size of existing reservoirs and dams and also building new reservoirs and dams. And that was from a November 19th Bee editorial. I think that's very important. Now, this begs the question, what if we do not get enough water to store from rainfall and snowmelt? We're entering our fourth year of drought. Major threats to our valley would be biggest threats to our valley water were named in the editorial from November the 16th, and they should be acknowledged. San Francisco wants another 25 million gallons a day from the Tuolumne River, and SFPUC figures it's cheaper to get water from the Tuolumne River than to try alternatives such as desalination plants. Now, we could certainly use the water from the Tuolumne for our own needs here in the valley. California's first substantial investment for desal plants is $725 million, with a total of $1.45 billion with matching funds. And supposedly, we're going to be able to get that money because Proposition 1 passed. Long-term desalination plants would be less costly financially and environmentally than building only large storage projects. Desalination is 21st century innovation, and building only dams is 19th century technology. The fact is 90% of the California population lives within 30 miles of the Pacific Ocean, which provides an unlimited supply of water. Coastal communities could build desal plants to supply their needs. And by the way, I have copies of 20 letters and articles to the Modesto Bee supporting desalination right here and here. And these were gathered in right here from February of 2014 to October 2014. So it's been over several months that these articles have been written to the Bee. It's about time we seriously consider desalination as the common sense long-term solution to our water needs. We may be using other things like storage and the other items that I mentioned, but I think this is really important that we really look to desal. They're using it, I think they're supposed to be opening a plant down in San Diego this coming September. So anyway, they're moving, but I think we need to move a little bit faster if possible. Questions and comments from the board?
Do you have any questions?
Comments?
Just comments, John.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Vernon Lee Price.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen of the board, Madam Clerk, ladies and gentlemen of Stanislaus County. My name is Vernon Price, homeless advocate here in Modesto. We're having a storm that I believe is, if I'm correct, one of the worst storms we've had in many years. I'm grateful to Dale Skiles from the EOS, or the OES, excuse me, Office of Emergency Services, this morning, and Dr. Walker of directing my attention to the Modesto Fire Department for phone calls there for those that are in need. The shelters are not going to be open, as far as I know, when this storm or inclement weather does come. So at this point, I have had questions over the last 48 hours from both the Gospel Rescue Mission and the Salvation Army. Of people staying there, where do we go? We don't want to be a policing problem. We do not want to be a community problem, but we do have a concern. So thank this morning, Dale Skiles, for our leadership in that direction. I also have a question this morning. I do hope, or a comment this morning. I hope that y'all received the printout that I left the clerk's office. This is mainstreaming the response to homelessness. Can I entertain a thought this morning, or could I get a thought if I can guarantee you a 5-to-1 hard dollar return on homelessness, or getting homeless people out of that stereotype or that revolving door? 86% rate of success with 12-month stretch reactive dollars. Can I get some attention with that? Mental health SSI advocacy service pilot project was introduced in San Francisco. I was involved in a meeting May 2010, which is mainstreaming the response to homelessness. San Francisco returned an investment. How SSI advocacy became a standard of practice in the city and the county of San Francisco. This is statistics. This is success. This is not reinventing the wheel. This is knowing what works and the partnership that it can build, the communication that it can, you know, positive communication. Instead of homeless people going out for their drug dealer or the alcohol store, the liquor store, we can get positive communication in our community and be a part of the solution instead of just part of the problem. Is there any questions or comments up to this point? I'd like to piggyback on Supervisor Withrow this morning of the awards. This changes so much, and it's like Supervisor or Chief Executive Officer Stan Risen said at the Homeless Coalition meeting. A lot of these families don't have fathers. I know I didn't. But this communication line, this 30 minutes, this 1 hour, is so positive that it has changed the recidivism in the judicial system, in our jail, in our homeless problem. I mean, it is such a good thing. And I just want to thank you, Supervisor Withrow, for being a part of that. This gentleman right here being the founder of that. Thank you so much, because it has brought instilled hope, has built and instilled light in this community. I just want to say thank you for your time and your consideration.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Price. We will now move to the consent calendar. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, then we will move to the consent calendar. We have item B1 that is to pull. Does any member of this board wish to pull another item?
If we could pull C4 also, please, Jim.
Number C4. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to pull an item from consent or a separate discussion? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent calendar except for B1 and C4.
So moved.
Second.
Is there a second? Okay, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 5-0. Now, Mr. Price, you have pulled item B1.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I did ask to speak on item B1, but it was advised to me that I needed to have that involved with the 5 minutes public comment, so I didn't know if I could stretch all of that in. So that's the only reason why I asked for this ticket to be pulled, or this item to be pulled. Just one major question is, you know, I did overview the 204-page attachment that is on this agenda. Due to a surgery last week and another one coming up on the 12th, I was unable to really get in depth with it. Can you get some information of where the statistics of the targeted or projected services would be going? With this, is there any email that you may possibly be able to send me with the stats and the targeted project?
Maybe if we could get all your questions, Vernon, then we'll ask our behavioral health director to come up and respond.
That sounds great. Thank you, sir.
Do you have any other questions?
No, that was the only one. And I do apologize for having this pulled on such minute question, but that's the only way that I was able to address this with such little time. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Mr. Price. We must need to act on this item there. Is there a motion to approve item B1?
Did we want to ask?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know you were here.
Answer his question.
He mentioned your name, but I didn't see you out in the audience.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, Supervisors, Mr. Rise, and Mr. Doring. Yes, I'm not sure there's not some misconception about this. This is a contract. We are the contractor. Meaning that this is a contract in order for us to receive state and federal funds. In order to do that, the state and federal government list out a number of rules, regulations, restrictions, requirements, and also the rates that we're able to charge for our substance use disorder services. So we have, I'm not sure what Mr. Price is referring to as far as stats, but we have approximately between 50 and say 90% of about $1.5 million waiting to be dispersed to us once this contract is signed. This contract has outlines the rules for us to collect drug Medi-Cal funding. It also outlines the rules for us to get our 2011 realignment match for drug Medi-Cal and our adult drug court. It also outlines the rules for us to receive our federal SAPTI, the Substance Abuse Prevention and Treatment Block Grant. So those three funding sources are tied up in this contract. Once we have executed this contract, then the money begins to flow with regard to drug Medi-Cal. They are holding that money until we have the signed contract. Certainly, if you're interested, I do have some PowerPoint which just reviews the high points of the contract, but I am not aware of any statistics. We do have reporting requirements, and those are certainly something I'm willing to share. We share that out at the ABSAP, the Advisory Board on Substance Abuse Programs. And also, the chair of that person comes to the board to present the ABSAP report once a year. So there is an annual reporting of our statistics. The embedded in this contract is what's called the national outcome measures. Not all of them have criteria, but they look at abstinence, they look at social support, increases in that, decreases in criminal justice involvement. There are 10 domains. Not all of them are, not all of them have the federal government articulated ways to measure. But we do have a reporting statistics that we send into the state, and we can get reports from that. So I'm certainly willing to ask Mr. Price if he has any specific requests about those kind of things, and I could let him know what we're able to produce.
Okay, any further questions? Okay, thank you, Madeline.
Motion to approve.
Okay, motion has been made to approve item B1. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Okay, motion is carried 5-0. We will now move to agenda item C4. Mr. Withrow, you just have a question about this?
Yeah, I was hoping that maybe Matt could explain this to my little simple accountant mind, what's going on here. Maybe somebody, even I'm sure on the executive committee of Stantag probably already know this, but if you could help me.
Sure.
What we're doing here with Modesto.
Absolutely. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, Mr. Risen, Mr. Doring, Matt Machado, Director of Public Works, and with me this morning is Eunice Lovey. She's our transit manager, and the item before you is really a good news item. Back in the 2010 census, they determined that portions of our county should be part of our largest urbanized area, the Modesto urbanized area. And so with that change, with our population growth, us becoming part of Modesto's urbanized area increased federal transit dollars that come to our region, and that increase is being designated for us, for our START transit system. But in order for us to use those monies or receive those monies, we needed to be a subrecipient, or we could be a recipient in the future of FTA through their process, Federal Transit Administration. So the MOU before you is that mechanism for us to claim those monies through Modesto as the primary recipient to receive those monies. The monies we're talking about, it consists of two fiscal years. The most recent year, fiscal year 13-14, there was $490,000 that FTA assigned to the county. We haven't been able to claim it because we're not a recipient yet through their process. So this will secure that money for us. And then in fiscal year 12-13, they had designated our START transit system for $683,000. So these are new monies to us, new monies to our region. This is not taken away from Modesto's FTA funds. This is just an increase in FTA and is designated for our transit operations.
And you said, Matt, maybe in the future we'll be able to get it directly and not through Modesto. That's the part I really didn't understand.
Well, so Modesto has gone through the process to become a recipient for FTA funds, and there's quite a process, and the federal government has certain requirements you have to meet. We haven't gone through that process. It would take StanCog to put all that together, and it appears the best way to go today is just to be a sub-recipient of Modesto. But clearly, you know, in the future, we may entertain becoming our own recipient.
Would there be any benefit in us being our own recipient, or is it just just as easy to go through Modesto without having to incur the cost of qualifying for this?
Sure. So I'm going to turn to Eunice and let her detail that a bit. There'd be pros and cons there.
Yeah. Definitely, it's going to be beneficial to the county to become a recipient. Some of us things that we need to do, which we're currently doing, is make sure that, for instance, we're providing ADA, prior transit service. We are currently in the process of doing so, putting a plan together to be able to provide that service. We also have to ensure that we adhere to federal regulations regarding Title VI, which we've already have approval from Caltrans. So there are a number of things that we have to do, and we're currently in the process of doing. And being able to become a recipient indicates that we have to be able to draw down the money and work with FTA directly.
Would there be more money, though?
Honestly, I don't know at this time, and so we have to wait to see what the new transportation plan is going to entail, and then based on that, we could determine whether or not it's going to be more or less.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it's worth us going through all these, you know, hoops that we have to go through to become recipients ourselves. If it's not going to be any more money, why incur the cost?
Well, and that item we would bring to this board for consideration, and we would have all the facts and the pros and the cons to
okay.
So that you can make an educated decision on it. But that'll
perfect.
Be in the future.
Okay, that's good. Thank you guys for doing this.
Welcome.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve this.
Okay, a motion has been made to approve item C4. Is there a second? Okay, motion's been seconded. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Thanks.
Motion's carried 5-0. We have no scheduled matters today. We will now move to correspondence.
This board has received from the Community Services Agency a copy of the fiscal year 2013-2014 annual audit report of the Child Care and Development Alternate Payment Program Stages 2 and 3 contracts by Brown Armstrong Accountancy Corporation, completed on November 6, 2014.
Acknowledge receipt of the audit report.
This board has received a copy of the California State Association of Counties Excess Insurance Authority 2014 annual report.
Acknowledge receipt of the report.
And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and approve the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Now, the Building Board of Supervisors reports. Mr. Kaza.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to report out yesterday, Supervisor Whitzer and myself had a meeting in Ripon with Department of Water Resources and also two supervisors from Tuolumne County, Supervisor Rotifer, and let's see, I'm terrible. I can't believe I didn't write their names down. Hanfelt. I know them by their first names, Randy Hanfelt, San Joaquin supervisors, Bob Elliott, and Ken Vogel, supervisor, the two of us, Amador County supervisor, Richard Forrester, and Merced County, Hub Walsh, and John Pedroza. That was it. I'm talking about trying to understand the new groundwater regulations. We're going to try and do this in about another 6 months after our Water Advisory Committee and the TAC have had their... And we've seen, as we try and put together joint powers or some sort of governance agency, but very insightful, again. And then today is Mayor John Lazar's last day after 22 years of public service. He's turning over his gavel. I have had a special relationship with him. He's been phenomenal to work with over the years. I wish him the best. I will be there tonight and look forward to working with Mayor Gary Soyseth in the future.
Is there any other board supervisors' reports? Just remind everybody, tomorrow's the last day for property taxes. Get those in, and Mr. Ford will give you a 10% penalty. And I would like to also make one comment on Stan Serra. We got in our board packet this week, Stan Serra had its best year ever last year with a net earnings on investments of $234 million last year, better than a 17% return. So that, of course, it was 1 year we lost $400 million. best I can recall, it was for 82% funded, which is good compared to a lot of other counties. I think our return was a little over 17% last year, best I can recall. We had a good year. Okay, legislative and fiscal management report, Mr. Risen.
Yeah, just briefly, the state legislature is back in session. A lot of shuffling around going on up there. They're in the process of establishing some new bills that will be introduced, but we probably don't expect much activity until spring. On the federal level, there's been some last-minute negotiations to try to introduce a $1.1 trillion spending bill to try to avert a government shutdown this week. Current funding runs out Thursday night. In the past, when we've had government shutdowns, it hasn't had a significant impact on us at the county level, but we continue to watch that. Outside of that, no other report.
Okay, being no further business, this meeting stands adjourned.